have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who will bring it to a close. We're thankful that You're not only our God, but You're our Father, that You have loved us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord and kept by the power of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that we can never thank Thee enough for all the good things that Thou hast done for us and that You're doing every day. We know that Thy Word teaches that Thou dost daily load us with benefits, and we pray that You would help us to be more mindful of the bountiful blessings that we have every day. Help us to be more thankful, and help us not just to thank You with the words of our mouth, but by the deeds of our lives. Help us to show forth the gratitude that we feel for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee again, Lord, for the life of Sister Sarah Nell. We thank You for the precious memories that we have and pray that You would bless us tomorrow in the funeral service, bless all the family in a very special way. We thank You for the care and the love that's been provided for her by Sister Cynthia and her family, and pray that You would bless them for all of their labors. We pray that You would bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician, that You have all power, and that You're able to touch and heal and lift up. And we ask You to bless those that are sick, strengthen them, and restore them to their health, whether their sickness is in mind or body. We pray that You would bless each one. Bless those that are having spiritual problems. We ask Thee to bless the unspoken prayer request, that You would lift them up and help them in every needed way. Bless those in Haiti and all the other nations and countries and cities where there's great turmoil and confusion. We ask You to help and bless Your children wherever they are. Help us now in this hour. Help us to be able to worship Thee as we study Thy holy word. And we ask You to bless Brother Robert in the nursing home service at Riverside, that You bless him, give him liberty, and bless us all together to worship Thee and have fellowship with Your people there. Bless Brother Ken Drayton in a very special way. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to begin reading this morning in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. The Word of God says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now, I want you to notice that there's an exclamation point at the end of that last verse that I read. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Great exclamation and declaration of the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that when he spoke, that even the winds and the seas obeyed his voice. Did you know there's nothing we can do to stop the winds and the seas? We cannot stop them. Whenever a hurricane, you can know that a hurricane is coming. You can know that a tornado is coming. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. But all God has to do is speak the word and it's brought to nothing. And that was the occasion here when the disciples were in the ship with Jesus. And they were in the middle of a storm, and Jesus was asleep. And then they woke Jesus up and said, "Lord, we perish." He rebuked them and said, "O ye of little faith." And then he got up and he spoke the word, and the winds and the sea stilled. There was a great calm because of the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. One of the expressions that I want us to look at this morning is, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? I want us to think about that expression. What manner of man is this? I think that in order to understand and to answer the question, what manner of man is this, we have to look at some of the things that he did. But we need to go all the way back to when he was a child. In fact, go all the way back to when he was a baby and think about what manner of baby is this, because it's what manner of baby he was that led to what manner of child he was and what manner of man he was. And so the question and the declaration is, what manner of man is this? And I want us to go all the way back and think about what manner of babe he was. He was a baby that was different than any other baby that has ever been conceived in the mother's womb. He was a baby that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That makes him different than any other child that has ever been born. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived, and that was in her was the Son of God. And that's the manner of man that he became. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God, and he was God in the flesh. But it all started with the conception in the womb. That is, as far as the man Jesus, it started with the conception in the womb. And we need to marvel and think about that the prophets of old had declared that a virgin would conceive and would bear a son, and that his name is called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. His name is Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. So we think about him as a babe. We think about him in his mother's womb. We think about his purity. It was because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost that he was not a sinner when he was born. Did you know that every one of you and every child other than Jesus Christ that has ever been born was born a sinner? They are a sinner by nature. They are a sinner because of the sin of Adam. And so we were conceived in sin. David said that we are conceived in sin and we are born in sin. We are sinners from the time of conception because of the sin of Adam. But Jesus was not a sinner. He was not conceived in sin. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And then, as he was born without sin, during his life, he lived absolutely perfect life. He never once yielded to sin. Even as a child, Jesus never sinned. He was completely without sin. What manner of man is this? It started when he was a babe, and it continued when he was a child. You remember when he was about 12 years old that he went to the temple, and the Word of God says that he confounded the doctors with his questions and his answers. And so it is that Jesus was a marvelous child, just as he eventually became a marvelous man. And so we can say what manner of babe he was, and what manner of child he was, because Jesus was the Son of God. And we think about when he began his ministry and he began to come to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist saw him coming. And when he saw Jesus coming, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Did you know that John saw there was something different about that man? He knew that Jesus, though they were cousins, he knew that Jesus was completely different from him, and he knew that Jesus was far superior to him, and he looked and saw Jesus and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So now, do you understand that when these men said, "What manner of man is this?" that it wasn't just this one event of him speaking and stopping the wind and the sea, but it was looking at his entire life. I know that this event amazed them. And they marveled at this event, as well as many other things that happened during the life of Jesus Christ. But brethren, Jesus was different, and he was different because he was the Son of God, and in reality, he was God manifest in the flesh. And therefore, we can declare, as these men did, as his disciples did here, we can declare and say, "What manner of man is this?" And as you go through his life and you look at all the things that he did, you have to declare and marvel and wonder what manner of man he was. Turn the page, please, and look at just a couple of pages past where we're reading. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It wasn't just the miracles that he performed, and he performed many miracles. We're going to look at some of those miracles, but it wasn't simply the miracle of calming the sea and the wind and all the other miracles he performed. But did you know that every word that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ were marvelous words? Every time he was ever asked a question in trying to trick him, in trying to frame him, in trying to degrade him, the wisest of natural men on this earth, no matter what they tried to do to pin him in a corner, Jesus would speak words that just confounded them. We understand that his disciples said in the text, "What manner of man is this?" But it wasn't only the disciples of Jesus that marveled at Jesus Christ. Even the heathen and people that were not disciples of Christ, they all marveled when they saw the works and heard the words of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 13 now, and we notice beginning in verse 53. Matthew 13 says, beginning in verse 53. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 53, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables." Parables. You remember all the parables of Jesus? This is Matthew 13, 53. Did you know there are 8 parables in Matthew chapter 13? 8 parables. What is a parable? A parable is a natural lesson that has spiritual meaning. And Jesus could speak a parable, and the people could not understand what that parable meant. They couldn't understand the depth of the meaning of the parable unless Jesus revealed it to them. And there's nothing that you can understand. You cannot know that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh just from reading God's Word. God has to reveal that truth to you. When Jesus asked the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter's response was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Did he know what manner of man he was right there when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Did Peter know what manner of man he was? Indeed he did. But Jesus' response is, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It was revealed to Peter. If you know who Jesus is this morning, if you know what manner of man he was, if you know that he was not just a superman or a natural man with great powers, if you know that he was not just a prophet, if you know that he was not just a good man and a great man, but if you know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he has saved his people from their sins, if you know the power of Jesus Christ, if you understand the works of Jesus Christ, if you understand that he accomplished what he came to do, you're a blessed person. Because you know something about what manner of man this is. And those people that heard his parables, they wondered, what in the world do these parables mean? You try to come up with a parable sometime. Try to come up with a parable. You try to come up with a parable that has great spiritual meaning. You'll work a long time, and unless God helps you, you can't come up with a parable. But Jesus just stood there and he just spoke one parable after another. And every one of them had tremendous meaning, every one of those parables. And when the people heard those parables, even when the apostles heard those parables, they marveled at what he was saying, and they didn't understand what he's saying. And they would ask him, what might this parable be? Why? Because of the wisdom of Jesus Christ to declare parables that had such depth and such meaning. And they asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And he says, because it is given unto you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to others it is not given. That is, God does not show everybody the meaning of those parables. And so it is that people that heard the words of Jesus, the disciples who understood those parables, they would declare, what manner of man is this that can speak such words of wisdom? And the people who could not understand the parables, they also would declare, what manner of man is this that can speak such words that we're confounded by the words that come out of his mouth? Watch now, starting in verse 53. Matthew 13, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. What do you think they thought when they heard him teaching? Had they heard a lot of other teachers? Had they heard some great teachers teach? But they heard Jesus teaching. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did the man come up with so much wisdom as Jesus has? All they had to do was just hear him speak, and they knew he had more wisdom than anyone they had ever seen before. Listen to verse 55. Their question is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Where did he come up with all this wisdom? He's just a carpenter's son. Well, he wasn't just a carpenter's son. And he wasn't just the son of Mary. And he wasn't just a brother to these men and these women. What manner of man was this? He was God manifest in the flesh. And therefore he could speak to the winds and the sea and cause them to stop. And he could speak words that confounded the wisest of men. All through the Scriptures, you go on through the Word of God and you look at the rest of the New Testament and you will be amazed at all the great things that Jesus was able to do. There are people here this morning that cannot walk. Did you know that Jesus could stand here and say, Brother Carnell, stand up and walk across this room? And if Jesus said to do it, it would happen. Isn't that a marvelous thing? People that were blind, that could not see. Some that were born blind, and others that were blind because of some accident or tragedy that happened in their life, Jesus could speak to them and heal the blind. And people that had all other kinds of problems, Jesus could just speak the words and they were healed of their problems. Didn't matter if it was leprosy, didn't matter what the problem was, Jesus just had to speak the words and they were healed. What manner of man was that? Well, he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, I want us to go further than just thinking about what manner of man is this. And I want to say this before I go to the next part of what's on my heart this morning. I think that more powerful than healing the sick was casting out devils that were in people. Now, I want all of you to understand this. There are men who claim to have power today that they do not have. But I'm telling you that God still has the power He has always had. And the power to cast out demons and devils, I believe with all of my heart that demons and devils that were present in the days of Christ, they're still present today. And I believe that Jesus still has the power to cast out demons and devils. You can't do it and I can't do it, but God can. And every other problem that you've ever had in your life or will ever have in the future, I'm talking about a man that is able to help you no matter what your problems are. Jesus is able to relieve you of your trouble and your problems. And so He could cast out demons and devils. Now, I want to shift now from what manner of man is this, thinking about the... You remember there was an exclamation point? It's not. There aren't many times in the Bible that you find an exclamation point. And yet that was the end of that. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Exclamation point. It was a declaration. Go with me to 1 John. Turn to the end of the New Testament. Not the Gospel of John, but the little book towards the end, the three little books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I want you to notice in 1 John chapter 3 that there's another place here. And the two words that just kind of stood out to me as I was thinking about what manner of man is this. Do you know of any other place in the Bible when you where you hear the words? Have you ever heard a word and it reminded you of something else? Have you ever heard a word and it just reminded you of something else? I can say two words right now and a song will come to your mind. Just jingle bells. Song just all you could probably say the rest of the song, couldn't you? But you hear the two words, what manner of man is this? Does that remind you of any other scripture? What manner? What manner? Look at 1 John chapter 3. This is what happened to me this week in thinking and meditating on what manner of man is this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, I'm sorry, the Word of God says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I want you to think about that now. And by the way, do you see anything, do you think that's a declaration that had great amazement? Do you think John was amazed? Do you think John was amazed that God could love us so much that we should be called the sons of God? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, we've been talking about God the Son. What manner of man is this? And now we're looking at another expression. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I want us to think about the love of the Father. How much does the Father love you? For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. Now, brethren, that's love beyond what we can comprehend. And so it is that John says here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God has bestowed great love upon us in that He has saved us from our sins. He sent His only begotten Son into the earth to save us. And His Son accomplished what He came to do. But I want you to think right now about the love of the Father. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I want to ask you a question. And I've never thought about this till this week in thinking about this verse of Scripture. Does this verse say, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be saved and go to heaven? Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It doesn't say, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be saved and go to heaven. Does it say, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that He sent His only begotten Son to die and save us from our sins? Is that what it's talking about? No. There's something far deeper than all of that. Now, we can behold the manner, what manner of love in all those other ways, and a lot of other ways, but there's one specific thing that John is speaking about here when he says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I just want you to think about this. Could God have sent Jesus into the world and saved us from our sins, and one day all of us be carried to heaven and all of us be angels? Is that possible? Think about it. I'm talking about a sinless angel. A sinless angel. Was the purpose of Christ dying on the cross only to cleanse us from our sins? Or was the purpose of Christ dying on the cross far more than that? To even carry us to the point of being called not just an angel, because the sons of God are above the angels. I want you to see what a marvelous thing God did right here. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Well, let's back up. Back up to Ephesians chapter 2. You're called, what are we called? According to this verse of Scripture, what are we called? The sons of God. Do you know what kind of, whose children you were before God adopted you into His family? Whose children were you before God adopted you into His family? Think about that question. Say it again. All right. Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. The Word of God says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know what your condition was before God came to you and quickened you? Your condition was you were dead. Dead. Not sick. Now I want you to understand the difference. Brother Neil, reach your hand out to me, please. All right. He reached his hand out to me. Did he respond to my invitation for him to reach his hand out to me? Now, there's a graveyard behind the church. In fact, Sister Sarinelle will be here tomorrow. If I said to Sister Sarinelle, as her body is laying in the casket here tomorrow, if I said to Sister Sarinelle, Sarinelle, if you'll just take my hand, you can live forever. Can she take my hand? No. Why not? She's dead. And so it is that our condition prior to God coming to us and quickening us and making us alive, our condition was not that we were sick and God reached out His hand and delivered us because of our response, but our response was, our condition was that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And God came to us and God quickened us and brought us to life. You understand the difference in you responding to a call? There is a conditional response and there's an unconditional response. The unconditional response is while you were dead in trespasses and sins. The conditional response is after you're alive spiritually, God calls you to walk in obedience. But there's a difference in the call from death unto life and the call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm calling all of you to be disciples of Christ, to follow Christ, to take up your cross in water baptism, and to be a disciple of Christ. That call is only heard by those that have an ear to hear. 27 times in the New Testament, the Word of God says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Who has an ear to hear? Only those who have been born of the Spirit of God have an ear to hear. Prior to being born of the Spirit of God, your condition is not death, not death. Your condition is dead. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now listen to verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of what? And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know what your condition was before God quickened you? You were children of what? Children of wrath. You were children of disobedience. You were children of wrath. Now, what does the next verse say? After it says, you were children of wrath, what does the next verse begin? What are the first two words of the next verse?
But God.
You see? What was your condition? You were children of wrath. What condition were you in? You were dead in trespasses and sins, but God. You see? What does 1 John 3:1 say? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so you were children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You know what your condition was? You were dead in trespasses and sins. The Word of God says that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it amazing the love of God in saving us? So far, all I'm trying to get across is the amazing grace of God to save us from our sins. But I want you to know that Jesus coming into the world was not only to save us from our sins, but was to deliver us from being children of wrath into being what? Being called children of God or sons of God. I want you to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Not that we're just redeemed. Not that we're just justified. Because He could have justified us and made us angels without us ever being sons of God. Do you follow that? He could have in His ordained plan. He could have done it that way. But here's what He did. Back up. Just one page. Back up to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll close with this. And I hope that God will bless you to see this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Please follow this carefully. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Behold who? Behold what man is this? Do you follow? You remember? God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Did He come to redeem us? Did He come to redeem us? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you see, there's more than just redemption, but the redemption was also to bring in the adoption of sons. Harriet, does that make it even better than just redemption? To me, it does. And I don't think I've ever really noticed the depth of this meaning before. But it's one thing to be redeemed, and it's another thing to understand that we have been redeemed to the adoption of sons. It's one thing to look at the love of God and to think about He saved us from our sins, but it's another thing to think He loved us so much. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I am amazed at the grace of God and the mercy of God. I'm amazed that He saved us from our sins. But I am even more amazed that He would ever call us the sons of God. May God help us to praise Him, because what manner of man could have ever loved us so much that He left the portals of heaven and came down into this world? What manner of man could have done that other than Jesus Christ? Not a one. And what manner of man could love us so much that while we were enemies, that He would die for us so that we could become His brethren? Not just His angels, but so that we could become His brothers. May God help us to praise God for His goodness and mercy and grace is my prayer for Christ's sake.